But first, the majority of alleged gun smugglers prosecuted in Arizona last year were identified by the paperwork required to buy firearms. The Arizona Daily Star analyzed 32 federal weapon smuggling cases and found only a handful of people were actually caught smuggling guns and ammo into Mexico. With us now to talk about the findings is Kurt Prendergast, who covers border issues for the Arizona Daily Star in Tucson. He and a colleague examined federal court records to get a better grasp of the problem and found the most alleged smugglers were straw buyers who left a paper trail. Kurt, good morning. Tell us about this paper trail and how you discovered it.
Good morning. Alex DeVoid and I, my colleague at the Star, in the wake of recent shootings in Sonora, we went down to the federal courthouse and we just plugged in the statutes that are used in gun smuggling cases. And we ended up, we spent a week pulling together all these records. And it really quickly became apparent that most of these cases are coming from the straw buyers, that the ATF and Homeland Security investigations. They go through paperwork, they contact the FFLs, the people who sell the weapons, and they just kind of backtrack. They go through the paperwork, see if a person's buying a lot of guns at the same time, see if they're buying a lot of guns over the course of months, and put it together like that. Far fewer cases are actually customs officers catching guns or weapons being smuggled into Mexico.
Well, that's why I want to ask you about one phrase that you use in the writing, which is that Mexican people are calling the slow trickle of guns from the U.S. to Mexico an ant operation. How does that play into this?
So it just kind of gets at that. This is all happening under the radar. We're not really seeing cases of, at least that are appearing in federal prosecutions, of, someone going through with 1,000, rifles. This is like one or two at a time, and the court records show that we had one case where he would buy a weapon in Tucson at a gun store, and then he would drive down to Nogales and take it into Mexico. And he did that on 10 different instances that were documented. So it's not big shipments going through. It's just very piecemeal, bit by bit, over the course of time.
And how extensive a variety of weapons are we talking about?
So we came up with, I think, about 100 different firearms, but most of them, I think it would be a third or so actually, would be the AK-47 style weapons, the AR-15 style weapons, and then lots of different pistols.
So sometimes suspects do get themselves caught. I want to ask you about the case of a young man who was trying to smuggle ammunition. Can you give us some background on that one?
Is that the one where the ammunition was exploding in the car?
Yes, exactly.
So that was that's the kind of an instance of the relatively strange ways that people can go about smuggling. And this is, these two young guys in their early 20s, they had bought some ammunition and they had driven it down to Rio Rico and then they stored it in the engine compartment. And as they drove, it heated up and the bullets started exploding and they ended up pulling into a truck stop on I-19 where it continued to explode and they fled. And luckily there were no, serious injuries involved.
Tell us quickly, Kurt, about the law enforcement side of this. If most of the alleged smugglers were straw buyers and they had this paper trail you mentioned, how does that affect the prosecution? Is it easier to find them?
Well, I think that the impression I got was this is not an easy task to track down these straw buyers. I think there's a lot of obstacles that are put up. I think that federal law enforcement would like to have removed in terms of record keeping. But it seems like once you get that paper trail, then the prosecution is pretty straightforward. They have all this evidence. They have a person going up and saying, I bought this gun for me. And it's, the inevitable question is, why did you need to buy 20 of that gun over the course of a year? Most of the prosecutions end up with interviews with the straw buyers. And then, the post-Miranda interview, the straw buyer says, I actually bought it for this other person and they're going to Mexico. So it seems like they have fairly strong cases.
All right. That is Kurt Prendergast. He covers border issues for the Arizona Daily Star in Tucson. Kurt, thanks for the time this morning.
Okay. Thank you.